Medicaid, Medicare.
My name's Joe, and one side says no kings, the power belongs to we, the people. And the other is due process for all, because we're really screwing up on that. And I am so empowered by the turnout in Benzie. I am so proud of this. It's wonderful.
Barb, and my sign says resist, like it's 1938 Germany.
And what made you make that sign?
Because it is exactly like 1938 Germany in so many ways, because the Trump administration is using the Nazi playbook. It's about that simple.
My name is Andrew Bishop. I'm a veteran. I'm wearing the sign on my back because I think there was an insurrection, and I don't like that he not only freed all the people who broke the law, but he then fired all the people who prosecuted them. I'm greatly opposed to that, but I'm opposed to everything he's doing, all of his cuts, just opposed to him, and that's why I'm wearing the sign today.
My name is Richard Dodge. And on my sign, on this side, it says, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. And on this side, it said, it says, Nero fiddled well, Rome burned.
Why do you feel it was important to be out here today?
I feel it's important because my father and my uncle fought in World War II against fascism. And it's time that we started doing it again.
Reporting from Benzie County, this has been Arlene Sweeting with WUWU LPFM 100.1 in Frankfort, Alberta.
That was Jeanette DeRios from KUNM in Albuquerque.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO's Metal Marathon, the Metal March, is back once again. And that means brand new metal merch. Go to kboo.fm/metal to check out all KBOO's new metal merch featuring exclusive artwork provided by local artists and musician at Unicron Artworks. This year's Metal Marathon is live on KBOO Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Get your very own limited edition 2025 Metal March Metal merch and listen to every installment of the Metal Marathon at kboo.fm/metal and support metal on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Hello. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio. Celebrated here on KBOO 90.7 FM, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am the Vice President of the AFSCME Retiree Chapter and the president of the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. I'm a retired public employee and was represented by Oregon AFSCME during my active working year.
And also, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm retired from the International UAW Staff Women's Department in Detroit, Michigan. And I'm currently the vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists and currently the president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
During the month of February, we saluted Black History Month. Our overall theme was the revolution continues. We wanted to address the current political and cultural malaise racing across the country. Well, tonight, we are pleased to share with you a well-thought-out concept of fighting back that was in the developmental stages prior to the disastrous 2024 general election. Tonight, we introduce you to ABSI, Advancing Black Strategists Initiative. Our guest tonight is our brother, Sherman Henry, a consummate educator who currently serves as the director of the Labor Institute for Advancing Black Strategists in partnership with Clark Atlanta University and Jobs with Justice.
Hello, Brother Sherman. This is Dr. Terrell. For those who have never had the pleasure of meeting Brother Henry, he was a career faculty at the University of Oregon's Labor Education and Research Center, LERCH, from 2016 to 2022. Now, Brother Henry was also the president of AsME Local 1184 in 1995, Merriam Dade, Florida. Under his tenure, he increased the membership from 1,600 to its highest of 4,600. Welcome back to the airways, Brother Henry, in the Pacific Northwest. So, bring us up to speed about your activities and how you got involved with APSE.
So, Bill Fletcher and Erica Smiley, the National Jobs for Justice, had this vision for creating a mentorship program, and they asked me to help out. So I initially took a leave of absence from LERC and came back home south, as you mentioned. I'm from Miami, Dade, so I'm a Southern boy. And I helped co-create the mentoring program that is known as APSE, the Advancing Black Strategists Initiative.
Now, it's my understanding that APSE's frame of mind is that if you are the only one, that you only have so much power. Now, is that a fair analogy?
Yes. That's a true analogy in the sense of organizing workers into a common understanding of solidarity, keeping in mind the strength of the woofers in the pack. You cultivate a common sense and a common cause to change the status quo and increase democracy in the workplace. We need to eat and provide for our families, so yes, we need to be more than just one. We need to double up.
So, Brother Henry, how was it formed? And are there other organizations who are involved in this program?
So, the vision for APSE grew out of a conversation in 2017 at our conference at Howard University. The conference was the Labor Research Action Network, where progressive thinker activists convened a workshop about the inadequacies of Black researchers in the labor movement and how the movement was weakened because of the limited perspective and lived experiences of Black workers. And so we decided to create this critical voice as part of an empowerment movement with a particular interest in the South.
So how would you describe the program and what's your role?
So the program is a combination of academics, academia, coursework. We offer about five courses, a certificate program that the fellows would complete. We train them on various aspects of the labor movement. As researchers, they study with economists. They meet and are mentored by strategists. There are several of our mentors who are labor leaders in the South. And my role is the director of the Labor Institute for Advancing Black Strategists.
Hey, Brother Man.
Hey.
I understand that the program launched in the fall of 2020. What are the program's motivation and objectives?
Well, the motivation for the program, again, is to fill the void of Black researchers in the labor movement with a particular interest in the South. As we know, the South is home to most of the citizens, Black citizens. So we believe that if we can train Black citizens in becoming better at advocacy, train them in economics, give them some real insights about collective bargaining, then we can change the South. We can increase union density in the South, which is particularly of interest because in most Southern states, there's a lot of restricted labor laws and the union density in most cases is less than 10%.
So if the objective is to build power in Southern Black workers and to create an economy where all working people can thrive, how do you accomplish that?
Well, through one, we are a multiracial, inclusive democracy. So the way you accomplish it is through recruiting and retaining and then training informing and empowering workers who are seeking to unionize their workforce. You do it through bringing in veteran labor leaders, scholars, research, conducting research to use that material to cultivate a vision and get buy-in from these fellows who we're recruiting.
So, Brother Hume, what happened in the spring of 2022 with the program?
Well, spring of 2022 was our first launch of our first cohort, where we actually had some success down in Fort Valley, Georgia, working with the steel workers who organized Bluebird.
Okay. Okay. Tell me, what is the ASPE Movement Fellowship Program? Just tell me what the program is.
Well, it's a mentorship program. They do coursework. They have mentors. They're out in the field. So they're moving from academic teachings to application. So we put folks out in the field. It's an 18-month program where hopefully they're given the skills, the knowledge. The field work allowed them to get the practical aspect of running, organizing campaigns, and engaging workers at these facilities that some international unions are targeting for organizing.
You may have said this, but how many fellows are involved in this apprenticeship program, and what is the time frame?
So we're on our second cohort. The first cohort,
wonderful,
we had about four, and now we're in our second cohort where we have approximately four fellows as well.
So what are their objectives again?
Well, you're training them to become strategists. You're training them to become not just organizers, but lead organizers. You're training them on reimagining what would the South be like if we get workers to unite, organize, and collectively bargain throughout the South.
Hey, brother man, it seems like labor unions, black workers, and the community engagements are the beneficiaries of the Fellows Program. Is that a fair analysis?
Yes, it is. In addition to just not centering it on the racial aspect of workers, but it is a significant aspect when you look at the population that we're targeting, which is unorganized. That's a fair analysis.
Okay. So the general premise of the follow-up program appears to mirror elements of the Poor People's Campaign. Is this true, or is it just a stretch of my imagination?
No, I think when you take into consideration the legacy of activism, the intersection between the civil rights movement and the labor rights movement, the labor movement, and look at some of the same public policies that failed certain workers, the working poor, looked at the level of discrimination, and we're here at this time where the country is polarized and race is the intersection of the polarization. So like then and now, that's a fair assessment to say that the Poor People's Campaign, where we know that there are several workers, especially here in the South, who don't have union representation, are working for low wages. And you look at the service industry here, who don't oftentimes have union representation, working for low wages. And you look at now the level of groups that are now organizing here in the South. You look at the campaign for Starbucks worker, the Poor People Campaign is relevant to our current situation.
Okay. It seems this movement fellowship is a blueprint to create new operational standards beyond simply passing policy and to begin to address the effects of race, class, gender, and the power they have on workers. Is this a method of moving from paper to pavement to engage more workers?
Yeah. When we think about public policy and how corporations have a hold on public policies, when you think about what's happening now in the federal government, we have to reimagine what worker empowerment feels like and the method to get folks more active. Unfortunately, we're in a very daunting time in our democracy, but clearly we want to train folks, we want to communicate with folks, and we want to provide the type of hope that the labor movement is known for. And we want to address inequalities in the workforce, not just on race, but on gender. I think you're right on.
Okay. So what involvement of the AFL-CIO Organizing Institute, what role does it play in this program?
Well, like any progressive movement, the Organizing Institute, led by Patrick Scott at the National AFL-CIO, is on our board. Patrick Scott is on our board. So the vision for organizing the South, collectively bargaining in the South, is a natural fit for us to collaborate with the OIT. The OIT is also recruiting and training beyond just the 3 days in one of their programs. This is a lifetime of transformation that we hope to empower, train new workers and future union leaders.
Okay. So I'd like to remind our listeners that they are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. If you just joined us, we are interviewing Brother Sherman Henry, who is a consummate educator, who currently serves as the director of the Labor Institute for Advancing Black Strategists in a partnership with Clark Atlanta University and Jobs with Justice. So, Brother Henry, do you believe that this program that you're involved in is a program related to the vision that Brother William Bill Lucy imagined in 1974 when he created Coalition of Black Trade Unionists?
Sure. When we think about the shoulders of those who we stand on in the vision of CBTU and Brother Lucy, who also was a supporter of what we were doing here in the South. And as you guys know, when I was working at LIRC, Brother Lucy came out to help us with the Labor Black History Program. So this is a continuation of what started out in 1974. And here in 2025, again, we're facing some of the same issues. We want more participation from a diverse group of workers. We want to be able to speak about our lived experiences in communities. We want to address the working conditions that we face in some cases that is different than some of our other brothers and sisters and family in the labor movement. So Bill Lucy's vision for CBTU was an inclusive multiracial democracy and a platform for the voices of the unheard. So when you think in terms of that legacy and the challenges we consistently face in the labor movement, this is a natural birthright, if you would, for us to advance Black strategists and advance the work of the past into the future, and especially now.
I'd just like to ask you, Brother Henry, what is your opinion of our current political atmosphere in relationship to union workers? Your personal opinion on dealing with how they're dealing with union workers.
Well, running the union for 24 years, collectively bargaining in the right to work, which, as we all know, since the Janus Supreme Court decision, public sector workers are in the right to work status. The need for collective bargaining and organizing is significant now, particularly when we see the assault on federal employees, all of the illegal layoffs, all of the executive orders that we have to organize and fight back. This current economic lens and the belief that we should give more tax breaks while we're giving people pink slips is a problem. And when we think about those who are laboring both in the public sector and the private sector, the attack on workers' rights is not new. When we think about Utah just did away with collective bargaining for the public sector, this period that we're in calls for a renewed fight for all of us to unify and reimagine the rights of workers to have a voice, to collectively bargain, to have a process where we can process grievances and the economic issue, right? The working class, not just the middle class, but the working class need to be re-engaged, which goes to the question of the Poor People Campaign. We often ignore the fact that so many of our low-wage workers are undervalued just because of the notion that the corporations want to rake in more profits, and this growing inequality for all is front and center in this polarized political climate that we find ourselves in. So this is the time for us to unify. This is the time for us to push back on some of the policies and practices of this current federal move to disenfranchise millions of workers through layoffs and closing down agencies. And furtherance of that, we need to really take a look at what type of democracy that we want. And if what we're currently experiencing is not a democracy. I know a lot of folks are talking about fascism and things of that nature, but I think we're in a very critical point where we have to lift every voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. And we surely miss you here in Oregon. And I'm so glad you took the time to be with us. Thank you once again, Brother Henry, for your diligence and for honoring the work of Southern Black workers who demonstrated a long record of forming unions and are pressing their demands for justice. Thank you for focusing on the necessity to build power at work in our communities and as our elders and ancestors led the path for us. And thank you for the learning session. We look forward to a future updates on Advancing Black Strategist Initiative. So I just want to add that the Coalition of Black Trade Union, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our monthly meetings. Our next meeting will be held April the 8th, 2025. Our email address is orcbtu10, that's 10, at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. So,
hey, Brother Henry, before we hang up, I need you, can you give us a little more information about the ABSI Movement Fellowship Program?
Sure. Well, it's approximately a leadership development program that runs about 18 months. The intent is to empower Black-led campaigns in the U.S. South, an opportunity to share their lived experiences and advance their understanding of the APSE School of Thought. Mm-hmm. The fellowship will work with Black academics, labor leaders, and organizers with a focus on building strategies to win that seek to expand workers' direct role in creating, implementing, and enforcing new standards beyond simply passing policies. We seek to empower, inform, and put folks in positions to engage workers in a multi-industrial approach. The fellows will then examine the effects of race, class, gender, and power in the South and all across the South. This program, we hope, will be a game changer for those who seek new knowledge about unions. And the fact that most of the Southern states' labor laws are not conducive to organizing. So, for an example, South Carolina and North Carolina doesn't have collective bargaining for public employees, nor does Georgia. And then we take a look at what's happening in Florida, who have workers that have a constitutional right to organize in the public sector. But now we know that these new requirements, in the way that was similar to what happened in Wisconsin, new requirements to manage a union. They need 60% now to keep their bargaining certification. They no longer have payroll deductions, and this constant cycle of reorganizing and new recruitment every year, if you don't hit 60%, is designed to marginalize bargaining rights. So the fellows get an opportunity to understand all of these Southern practices, as well as talk to folks like we're doing now in progressive states such as Oregon, New York, California, and look at those best practices that we're cultivating a deeper understanding here in the South, and engaging unions to put resources in as in the way that we've seen happen with the recent organizing efforts in Southern states. So the fellows may be assigned to a number of campaigns here, working with, like, you know, United Steel Workers Union, Jobs to Move America, UAW, International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, and other unions, the Laborers Union, and the SEIU, United Southern Service Workers, who are now looking at organizing some of the food service workers in the South.
Okay. All right. And you said the program is about 18 months?
Yes, the program is about 18 months.
Okay. So it sounds like the intent of the program is to get skin in the game for the actual workers so that they have a better understanding that the work that they're doing, that they're going to benefit in the end. Is that a fair statement?
Fair statement. The ultimate goal is to have impact and to be transformational learning, to experience transformational learning for those who don't get labor education, don't fully understand unions, just because the low union density in the South, so they get taken advantage of, or they get fed the employer's anti-union speech on a regular basis. Those workers who are less than 10%, and just to be honest, you know, some of these Southern states, unionization is primarily in the private sector, where you may only have 3-4% union density. And so there's a gap of knowledge about what unions do and the roles that unions play in seeking economic justice, but not just the wage and hour issues, the working conditions.
Okay. In a previous conversation with you about this program, you indicated that it had a dual capacity. Do you want to expand on that?
Well, you have the APSE Fellowship Initiative, which is what I was just describing. And then you have the traditional Labor Institute in the way that LIRC is a labor center. We have a labor institute because we also work in the DeBose Southern Center for Studies in Public Policy. That would do a lot more of our research. And we're a university, so we get a chance to train political scientists with direct engagement with workers, with a direct engagement with understanding unions and the way unions function for the better good. We introduce them to new concepts like bargaining for the common good as a matter of acquiring new skills and knowledge to put in practice. Okay. So we're a comprehensive program that ultimately we hope would get more buy-in from the general public here, working directly with the AFL-CIO and its affiliate unions in the South, mm-hmm. community groups that are pro-worker led in their philosophy and in their practice to really, you know, change the economic conditions of workers in the South. And as I mentioned a moment ago, beyond just the dollars and cents perspective or the common sense economics, we really want folks to be empowered and exercise voice in a multiracial democracy that will strengthen not only the union internally, but spill over into the communities that we reside in.